going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. Happy Saturday for you, just hours away from kickoff in the NFL. It's divisional weekend. Four good games, not going to lie. I am looking forward to the Browns and Chiefs game as well, if you couldn't tell. This is episode 24 of Mean Streets, the Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., Miguel Cabrera, Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds episode. A whole lot of baseball there for you. Where are the NFL players? Kobe Bryant also rocked 24 on the hardcore. But, I mean, look at those baseball players. Mays, the kid, Mr. RBI, Miggy, Barry Bonds. So I got to give a shout out to those guys. But it's all football here on the show today, as I mentioned. Four games getting underway here fairly soon. I'm going to be with Elliot, Chris, and Derek Brown, just as I was last week, breaking down the divisional weekend in the NFL. We start with the Rams and the Packers at 4:35 Eastern time. We will be live over at FTNDaily.com at 3 Eastern, basically all the way up until kickoff, breaking down all four of these games from a DFS standpoint. We'll have a few bets and props in there as well, just like we did last week. I'm not going to lie, last week was pretty good. Elliot and Derek Brown, very sharp dudes, man. We were all over Jonathan Taylor to have a big game, Cam Akers to have a big game. The quarterbacks that we liked were Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So it was a pretty solid showing. I know some subs had a lot of success. So hopefully, if you are subscribed over at FTNDaily.com, join us. And hopefully we can give some winners and you guys can have some success this week as well. We're running out of time. Football's almost over. It's sad. I know. It's a bummer. Last week, the picks, not great. I think overall I went 8-8. I mean, if you're going to have a bad week, 500's okay. I mean, I'll take that. I'd rather do 8-8 than, you know, 4-12 or something silly like that. But, you know, overall, I just want to do a little quick recap. So 0-3 on the spreads, did not expect that from the Browns at all. I mean, I'm rocking the Shake and Bake hoodie here today with you guys, but right from the first snap of the game, it seemed like it was over, right? I mean, Big Ben did not look good, reportedly wants to come back. Pittsburgh needs to go through a few changes. This team started 11-0, maybe the worst 11-0 team I've ever seen in my life. They just really stumbled down the stretch of the season. I thought with everything that was going on with COVID and Cleveland and being without their head coach, I didn't think that that was a football game that they would win. Nonetheless, was wrong there. Was wrong in the Bills as well, and they almost lost that game. 3-for-3 on the money line. Got the parlay for you guys. 1-for-3 on the total. So hoping to bounce back in the picks. But I'm going to start with the props. I mean, last week was decent. We had the Jonathan Taylor over rushing prop, Marquise Brown over receptions, Logan Thomas over receptions as well. And I think I gave a few other winners from FTNBets.com, but didn't get the Dobbins rushing prop, didn't get the Ryan Tannehill rushing prop either. So looking to bounce back strong here for you guys because, we're running out of games. I like to parlay 3 or 4, and you can't parlay from the same game. Depending on your books, you can do it over on FanDuel. You can do it over on DraftKings. But for those living north of the border like myself, it's tough to find a book where it will allow you to parlay more than one from the same game, which I get it from the book standpoint. You know, it correlates really well if you could find a site to do it, especially when you're looking at this KC and Cleveland game with the highest total of the week, 57 points. I mean, Hill and Mahomes and Kelsey, if you just take the over on the yards, you know, it's a good bet. If you're going to get the yards of Mahomes, you're probably going to get it on Kelsey and Hill. And then coming back the other way with maybe Hunt receiving yards and Landry receiving yards, Hooper catches, things like that. It correlates really well if you can find a book to just hammer in. And that's the game I would go to if you're looking for one game for overs on props and points being scored. That's the one, KC and Cleveland. So I'm going to start with the props and I'll get to some picks. It is tough, I'm not going to lie, to make these picks come playoff time, but I got a few for you. I'm going to stick with the routine, 3 on the spread, 3 money line, and 3 over unders, as well as a parlay and a teaser. So hopefully I can get a teaser for you. I really like this one this week. I've said that quite a bit though. So let's start with the props. Landry, juice, 4.5. I've seen 5.5 plus money. I'm fine with that as well. I've seen 57.5 receiving yards. I like that as well. As I mentioned, 57 is the game total here. I can't imagine the Chiefs not scoring 30, right? They're going to go up and down the field against Cleveland. The secondary is not great at all. And Mahomes and company coming off the bye. Andy Reid, he's had a long history of success coming off byes. But Landry, the number one wide receiver for Cleveland, it's not even close. 5 catches for 92 yards last week. He has at least 5 grabs in 6 straight games, at least 6 grabs in 4 of those games. And you can get after the Chiefs in the slot. Darius Sneed is not all that great. I expect him to be on Landry this week. And last week he struggled. Well, I guess week 17 he struggled. You know, it was a meaningless game really for the Chiefs, but he allowed 7 targets. All 7 against him were all catches. That from my guy Jeff Ratcliffe over at FTN, right? The wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. How great is that tool? It's phenomenal. You see things like that. So give me Landry. I think that Cleveland will have to throw. I know they want to run the football with Nick Chubb, but I think they'll have to throw the football. And Landry is the guy for me. I think he gets 5 grabs. And I think he gets over the 57.5 yards, too. So I like both of those. And if you want, the 5.5 is plus money, but 4.5, I think, is a solid bet. Travis Kelce is next here on the board, 87.5 receiving yards. Hill is right around this number, too. I like both. I think Kelce is just a little bit safer. He's just been so consistent. These are the last few games from Kelce receiving yards. 98, had the 68 a couple weeks ago. 136, 136, 82, 127, 159, 109. He's got a touchdown in 4 straight games. Looking at Cleveland so far this season, and you know, so far, geez, we're almost at the end. Large sample size here are the Browns and what they do against tight ends, and it's not great. 90 grabs against tight ends. They've allowed tight ends to have 90 catches against them so far this season. The 4th most in football, 907 yards to the position, the 7th most in football, and 10 TDs, the 4th most in football. 201 fantasy points. I know this is not fantasy. That's a half point setting. That's the 3rd most in all of football. So they've really struggled to stop the tight end so far this season. So just give me Kelce and those yards. I like it. The catches are high. It's really juiced up with Kelce and with Hill catches, like 6.5, 7. I don't know. There's a lot of catches. It probably gets there, but just give me the yards, right? Kelce is a beast down the field. He's great after the catch. And like I said, just a lot of points here in this game. The other guy that I like is Lamar Jackson, 74.5. I know that seems pretty high for a quarterback to get that on the ground. This is rushing yards for Lamar. Jeez, if that was his passing prop, I don't even know if I would take that. Jokes aside, but, you know, as we said last week on the DFS, the daily chat, as I mentioned with Elliott and Derek Brown, Lamar plays a lot of hero ball. He really does. And if you watch that last week, there were the game last week against Tennessee, there were a few plays where, like RPOs, where he probably should have handed it off to Dobbins. And that's the problem with Dobbins. Like, I like Dobbins as well. His rushing prop is right around 60. Yeah, it's 57.5. I took the over of that FTNBets.com. I didn't want to give you guys that because it is a bit of a risky bet. Knowing that Lamar will call his own number. No Mark Ingram in this game. He's going to be inactive, so that's positive. Dobbins has found the end zone, I believe, 7 straight games. He's been finding the end zone at will. When they get in there in the red zone, Lamar is handing it off to him, and he's finding the end zone. I like him again, plus money to score a touchdown. But the thing with Lamar that I've noticed is there's a couple times where he should hand it off to Dobbins, but he's playing hero ball. And that's exactly what my guy Elliot Chris said last week. Under the spotlight, he plays hero ball, and he likes to run it himself. 136 rushing yards last week, 97 the game before, 80 before that, 35 against the Jags. The game was out of hand, didn't have to run. 124 before that one, and 94. So his last few games, he's averaging about 90 rushing yards per contest. It's unreal. He looks healthy. In the start of the season, he was bothered by a knee injury, and there was one game where he didn't run at all against the Bengals. But over the last few weeks, when Baltimore has had to win football games, he's running. You can run on the Bills. That said, the Bills have been really good against rushing quarterbacks. They limited Cam. They limited Kyler earlier in the year. They did well against Lamar last season, but I feel like this is a different Ravens team. I'll break down that game in just a little bit, but give me the over on Lamar, 74.5. I think he gets there. I don't think there's going to be a lot of snow. Earlier in the week, there was talk about a lot of snow, potentially up to an inch by the time the game is over. That's possible. I think that just benefits a guy like Lamar. Benefits all runners, all pass catchers, to be honest with you. That's how I always treat snow. Look at LeSean McCoy a few years ago. I think he played the Lions. There was 6 inches of snow at the link. He struggled early, but then he started to run. Philly started to give him the ball a little bit more. I think it's the advantage of the player. They know where they're going to cut, right? The defensive players don't necessarily know. Their footing can be, you know, messed up just a little bit. Lamar, there's a lot of talk about Lamar saying he's never played in snow before. There was a game, I guess, when he was at Louisville where he had a snowball fight. I mean, this is a different beast, Lamar, if it's going to snow in Buffalo. But Just give me Lamar in the over on the rushing prop, 74.5. Cam Akers is next. I got him twice, as you see. I have the over 16.5 rushing attempts, and I have the over 14.5 receiving yards. I even like the over 2.5 grabs at plus money, and I kind of like the over 70 rushing yards. I like Akers quite a bit here in this game today. And looking at Akers just over the last few weeks, last week in particular, 28 carries, 131, had 21 for 34 in week 17. Remember, he came back from the ankle sprain, but the carries were there, the opportunities, 21 carries. No Henderson again in this matchup. Malcolm Brown is not a guy that I expect to touch the field a whole lot. This offense is going to run through Akers, and what Sean McVay does so great and what he's done so good over the course of his career as a coach and just this season. You know, we saw Whitworth come back on the offensive line. It's just, you know, the 1-2 tight end sets, just all the schemes that he runs, and it opens up holes for Cam Akers. The offensive line has been great. The Rams have run the rock pretty well all year long. And there's a good track record here of Akers before, you know, he had the 15-63 against the Jets. That game was actually kind of out of hand. I expect this game to be close. We'll break it down a little bit more and tell you why, I think, a little bit, but before that Jets game, 29 for 171 and 21 from 70 for 72. So he has smashed the over on 17 rushing attempts pretty easily in four of his past five games, with 28, 21, 29, 21, and then the 15 against the Jets. And over that span, 13 targets, 10 grabs for 141 receiving yards. So this is a bell cow running back, right? If you've been watching the show all year, I've been telling you guys to stash Cam Akers, try to acquire him. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out from a season-long standpoint, but you're seeing the skill set. It's on full display over the past few weeks. His last four healthy games, 99 carries and 8 targets. So I just took out that final game where he had the ankle sprain, and then the one a few weeks ago where he was bothered by a rib injury. So when his coming out party was against the Patriots, when he had the 29 for 171. This guy's a stud. I love him. I think he's phenomenal. I really do. 49 carries, 6 targets in his last two games. Going up against a Packers defense, 4.5 yards per carry. I took this stat from Elliot Chris's article, 27th in DVOA covering running backs. That's Green Bay. But looking overall, this is a stat I found on my own. I don't steal everything from Elliot. Jokes aside. But against running backs this year, Green Bay, 90 catches, the 8th most. 764 yards to running backs, receiving yards that is, 3rd most. And they're allowing 5.6 grabs and 47.8 receiving yards per game. So, right, if you look at those numbers and you look at the props with Akers and you see the 14.5 receiving yards, you see the 2.5 catches, right, you think he gets there. If you think Green Bay is going to roll in this game, then stay away from the rushing prop at 16.5. But I still think, even if Green Bay rolls, that Akers is going to get there. They're going to pound the rock. That's how you beat Green Bay, right? Jaire Alexander is going to be on Robert Woods. That's a tough matchup for Robert Woods. And Green Bay has allowed 112 rushing yards per game and 4.5 yards per attempt. So you can run on Green Bay. They're probably going to stack the box. They know. But like I said, McVay is, he's a genius, the way that he runs these schemes. So I think Akers is going to have success. But if you think that the game's going to be a blowout, then take the receiving prop at 14.5. Take the over on the catches at 2.5. I think he gets all three. The rushing yard prop at 70 is a bit tight for me, but I like the carries. And, you know, again, it kind of correlates, right? If I think he's going to get 17 carries, and I think he's probably going to flirt with that 70 rushing yard prop. The only team that allowed more receiving yards to running backs, well, there's two, but the one up at the top is Tampa Bay, and they allowed 101 catches to running backs. So I was going to come in here with Kamara, but his catches at 5.5 is a little high. I like his receiving yard prop at 37. So it's tough to run on the Bucs, but I think that's why you've seen a lot of running backs get all those catches and receiving yards. 101 catches is a huge drop-off between the next couple teams, right? Green Bay's at 90 catches allowed to running backs. Tampa's at 101. So Kamara is a guy that I think will be involved through the air, just like Akers. Not as much. Akers not as much as Kamara, but I think both of these backs are going to have some success catching balls out of the backfield. I like them both on DraftKings this week. So those are the props. Again, you see here Landry over 4.5, Kelce over 87.5, Lamar over 74.5, and then Akers 16.5 rushing yards, and then 14.5 receiving yards. I throw a couple more at you that I have over at FCM Bets. I mean, I just gave you a couple with Kamara. I like that receiving yard prop. I like the acres and the catches. I like Chubb, 12.5 receiving yards. I think Cleveland's going to have to play catch up in this game. And even Chubb at 67.5 rushing yards, I do like that. I think they'll establish the run and they'll try to. But if the Chiefs just roll, then they're going to have to throw. So take a look at Chubb receiving yards, and take a look at Landry for sure. I like, and Hunt receiving yards. I think both of these backs are going to catch a few balls out of the backfield. So let's get to the picks. We'll bring it up here. 112.83 on the year, 47.3 units. As I mentioned, last week was tough. My apologies. I didn't like where I was at with the spreads. The totals are usually something that I nail, and 1 for 3 there too. So hopefully we can bounce back here. I'm going against the grain. I see a lot of experts, a lot of the money coming in on Buffalo and on the Saints. Early on, it was in on Baltimore, but it's kind of evened out recently. A lot of people on Buffalo and a lot of people on the Saints. And I get both picks. Those were the toughest ones for me to call. I'm going to start with the Rams and the Packers. I got LA plus 6.5. So this is the number one scoring offense in Green Bay up against the number one scoring defense in LA. And over the last 15 years, it's 3-1 in favor of the defense. The defense usually wins these matchups. There's one in particular that stands out to me. Remember the Super Bowl, right, when it was the Broncos against the Seahawks, and it was the number one offense in Denver, and they just absolutely got slapped, right? They got slapped. That first snap last week with Pittsburgh and Cleveland when it went sailed over Big Ben's head, who's like, I don't know, how tall is that guy? Like 9'7", and went way over his head. That reminded me of the Super Bowl with Seattle and Denver. Wasn't it the first snap and it went way over Peyton's head and we got the touchdown or the safety, one of the two, and it was just lights out from there. This is different because it's Rodgers and he's been so good and he's going to be the MVP, and him and Devontae Adams, nobody can stop him, but there's a lot of just interesting players in this game. I'm really excited about this game. We are starting off strong. I mean, we have Aaron Darnold, or Donald rather, and Leonard Floyd. These guys, they can generate some pressure. According to our tool over at FTNDaily.com, they combine for 90 pressures. It's the most of any pass rushing pair in the NBA. But then you have a solid offensive line in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, I think, is the best wide receiver in football, but he's going to have to go up against arguably the best cornerback in football in Jalen Ramsey. So this is going to be really, really good. And as I mentioned on the other side with McVay and all the personnel that he's going to run out, the 1-2 tight end sets, inside, outside zone, gap schemes, all of that stuff, it's going to be just a fascinating matchup to watch. My one issue that I have in this game is Jared Goff, and that's why I'm so uneasy about the Rams. He's not healthy with the thumb. You saw some of the throws. They were okay, and they were not phenomenal, but he's not healthy, and he's not a great quarterback anyways. He's not totally accurate. He makes mistakes. He folds under pressure, and now he's dealing with a thumb injury. But I want to give him a little bit of credit. I still like Cooper Kupp as a guy in the slot that's going to do some damage in the slot. I mentioned I like Akers. I think the defense keeps this close. I don't think Green Bay is going to roll. As you see, I like the under, 45.5. I see this as like a 23-20 game. It's going to be close to that under. I think that LA will hang around. This defense is just too good with Aaron Donald generating pressure. He's going to play in this game. I know he's not healthy. A lot of guys are not healthy this time of the year. But Donald is going to be able to get some pressure, get after Aaron Rodgers. This guy is just an absolute beast. I know the Packers are among the top in terms of pass blocking and run blocking. But I still like, give me the Rams, the edge of the Rams. I like Green Bay to win the game, as you see on the money line, but I think the Rams do enough to keep this close. Buffalo and Baltimore, the other tough game that I had, the second game of the Saturday duo here today. This one was tough, man. It really was. I really like this Bills team. I have a soft spot for them. You see on the board, I made that board at the start of the playoffs before we saw it's KC, Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans as my final four. I didn't think it would play out that way with, you know, last week being on the Titans, and it just kind of worked out that way with the Cleveland upset that we could get that final four, but I'm throwing it out the window. I'm off of it. I'm going with Baltimore here. I know it's tough for me to even spit out because I'm still just kind of torn on this matchup. It's going to be another phenomenal matchup. Nobody blitzes more than the Baltimore Ravens, but nobody's been better against the blitz than Josh Allen. 19 touchdowns, number one in football, 17 on the season, two last week against the blitz when the Colts ran after him. Second best QBR against the blitz. 7.4 yards per dropback against the blitz. That's number four in all of football. This is tough. It's tough. The reason I lean with Baltimore, I think they have a better defense. I think their defense is better than Indy. I think that earlier in the year, it wasn't good. They went through a stretch where their COVID ran through their team and they were dealing with some injuries. I really like their secondary. I think it's better than the Colts. Yeah, they can generate some pressure and Allen is good against pressure. But I think it comes down to who makes the play on defense, and I think it's going to be Baltimore. This is going to be a great game. I really love the Bills, what they've been able to do. I expect Allen and Diggs to have some success again. They just don't have... My reason with Buffalo, and there's no Zach Moss, and whatever, he hasn't done a whole lot, and Singletary is... They don't run a lot. They're pretty one-dimensional. And I hear you saying, well, so is Baltimore. Baltimore can't throw the ball down the field. They're one-dimensional, too. They run the football. The difference for me is why I'm picking Baltimore here is the defense. And the difference from Baltimore this year and the difference from Baltimore last year is they cruised all last year. They faced no adversity. They sacked guys in week 17. I believe they had the bye. And then they just, okay, fine. All of a sudden we're playing a playoff game, right? They've been playing playoff games, quote-unquote playoff games, for the last 5 weeks. Their backs have been against the wall. They've had to win games to get into the playoffs. I feel like this is a different Baltimore team. I feel like it's a team that's feeling themselves. Also, Buffalo feeling themselves as well. As you can tell, I'm torn on this game. But give me the Ravens. You can run all over Buffalo. That is how you beat them. And this is a rushing attack that's really good. Lamar Jackson, Dobbins, Edwards, they run the rock just so well. Geez, they had 400 rushing yards a couple weeks ago. I know it was against the Bengals, but 400? Are you kidding me? So give me Baltimore in a very, very tight game. This is going to be an entertaining game, but I am going to side with the Ravens on that one. And believe me, it was really tough to do. Cleveland and KC, the other one. The difference for me in this game is Chubb. It's Chubb. The Browns are 10-3 with Chubb in the lineup. He has a touchdown in every one of those games besides one, so 12 of the 13. I don't expect the Browns to win, right? I'm rocking the hoodie. I don't expect the Browns to win. I think they keep it close. The reason I think they keep it close, look at KC this year. Three-point win against Atlanta. Three-point win against the Saints. Six-point win against Miami. 6-point win against Denver, 3-point win against Tampa, 4-point win against Vegas, 2-point win against Carolina. They blew at the Jets. They blew at the Broncos. It was a crazy weather, snowy game, whatever. It was the Broncos. They didn't blow out Buffalo, but they beat them by 9. Vegas, they lost. And then New England, we're going all the way back to the first month of the season. But also close games. Like, they beat the Chargers by 3, right? That was the first quarterback start from Herbert. And then they beat the Texans opening week by 14. But a lot of their games, I mean, I just rattled off, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row where it's all been decided by a touchdown. This is a 10-point spread. I don't know, man. I think the Browns keep this close. I think they're going to have success running the ball. And if, like I said earlier, when given the props, if they get behind big in the game, I mean, Baker Mayfield has looked pretty good throwing the rock over the past few weeks, utilizing all the tight ends, two backs. I think they just have the best 1-2 punch in the NFL. They run the rock so well. The offensive line is so solid. And I think they'll be able to have success running the ball against KC. And if it's just one or two stumbles out of the gate from KC, all of a sudden tight. Remember, keep in mind, the last three playoff games, they won them all. They won the Super Bowl. They started really slow. they started extremely slow against the Texans. They were behind by 3 scores, and they came back and won that game. The Titans, they started really slow. They were behind in that game as well, double-digit points. They came back and won that game against the 49ers in the Super Bowl. They were trailing the entire game until the fourth quarter. So, yes, they are really good. The offense is legit. Andy Reid is so good after the bye. But they have played in a lot of tight football games over the past, 20 games, 17 games. About 13 of the past 20 games have been one-score games. So give me Cleveland plus points. I think KC wins the game. I'm not crazy here, but I think Cleveland keeps it close. The final game. This is the one, isn't it? The nightcap, the Sunday, they're finishing here strong. We got the Broncos, the Bucks, and the Saints. Chris, that's who's playing. Giddy up, right? This is going to be fun. Brady versus Breeze, combined age of 85. We just had Breeze, I think he turned 43, 42 just the other day, Friday, I believe. Number one and number two all time in passing, right? Breeze up at the top, Brady number two. This is going to be good. This is going to be phenomenal. We have Lattimore versus Evans. These two have a history. I can't wait for this game. As you see, I'm picking the Bucks. I'm siding with the Bucks, and it's crazy to do that considering the Saints, they won week one, 34-23, 38-3. Those are the two games that the Saints won, but one of those games was Brady's first game with the Bucks. The other game was Antonio Brown's first game with the Bucks. A lot has changed since that week one matchup and that earlier matchup in the season. A shout out to my guy, Clinton Yates from ESPN, who is not definitely not a fan of the show or watching, but I saw him tweet out that a 46-point winning margin is the biggest for any team that's going to play a team a third time. So we've seen some blowouts in the regular season, larger than 46 points, but they hadn't had that third matchup. And I know there's some rumblings out there, and I've said it before to people tongue-in-cheek, oh, it's tough to beat a team 3 times in a row. And while that may be true, just taking a look at some deeper numbers from NFLresearch.com, the team that accomplished the sweep has a record of 20-12 in a playoff matchup. So, not necessarily true. When playing at home, the team that swept the opponent has a record of 17-7. Is this not true home field advantage? Like, sure, it kind of is. There's no fans. We're inside a dome, no weather, it's fine, right? I kind of throw that home thing out the window. This is the 33rd instance of teams meeting in the postseason after one completed a 2-game sweep of the other in the regular season. So all of these juicy stats from NFL Research does show that probably the Saints should win this game, should be favored. They are favored. They're favored by a field goal, even at home. It's basically a pick 'em. I just like what I saw from the Bucs last week. Stopping all that pressure. Had Gronk blocking a little bit more. I mean, Brady wasn't feeling it at all. Not as much as I thought he would against Washington, who can generate a ton of pressure. Now, the Saints have some guys who can get after you as well. It's a much better defense. But I really like what I've seen from Brady recently. Utilizing Evans, Gronk, Brown, Godwin. They're not going to get anything on the ground. They probably won't have a running back between Fournette and Jones if he suits up and he's on the field. If both of those guys are active, they may not even combine for 60 rushing yards. It's going to be a pass-happy game. I don't think the Saints are going to have a lot of success running the football. Both of these quarterbacks are going to have to chuck. I've seen a lot more from Brady over the past few weeks than I have from Drew Brees. Drew Brees cannot throw the football down the field. There's been a lot of talk that Brady can't throw the football down the field. That's false. That's fake news. He has been throwing the football down the field, and it's been very accurate over the past few weeks. He's been much better at doing that. I think it comes down to a play at the end, which quarterback can move the ball up the field. Give me Brady, right? This is why we're seeing Sean Payton in the field, on the field here and there. Sean Payton throwing Taysom Hill on the field here and there, right? To throw the ball down the field or to run. Breeze does not look healthy. He does not look great. The arm strength is not there. As I mentioned, Bucks are much different than those first meetings earlier in the year. I think this is going to be who has the ball last, who can drive down the field last, and who can win that, just get them there to get into field goal range. This is going to be phenomenal. This is going to be real good. The Saints, by the way, are the last team to sweep a team and then beat them again in the playoffs. They did it against the Panthers in 2017. Lattimore versus Evans, 0 catches on 6 targets in the 2 games this year. Be cautious of any Evans props. I want to come in here under 4.5 grabs. I would take the under, but it's a prop that I'm staying away from. Marshawn Lattimore shadowed Evans in both of those games, and Evans saw 4 targets, or 6 targets rather, and he caught 0 of them. So that's obviously, you don't need me to tell you that that is not good. But on the flip side, he could be beat because he's given up 7 receiving scores in coverage this year, tied for the second most. Again, shout out to my guy, Jeff Ratcliffe, and the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. Guys, it's going to do it. Hopefully it provides some winners here for you. Let's bring up the picks board again here. My bad. Let's go over a couple of the other picks. I was just going matchup by matchup to recap. So Rams plus 6.5. I think Green Bay wins the game. Cleveland 10.5, plus 10. I think KC wins the game. Bucks plus 3. And I like the Bucks to win. I like Baltimore to win. I got the under in the Rams and Green Bay game, 45.5. I got the under in the, that should say Baltimore and Buffalo. My bad there. Under 49. So I think with both teams, especially Baltimore running the football, I think it's slightly high. It's a little high for me, so just give me the under. Cleveland KC, I just think there's going to be a lot of points, 57, so I'm taking the over. The teaser is what I really like here. KC to win by a field goal, tease the under to 50.5, so this is a 7-point teaser, plus 325. So if you think that 57 is a little high, and it is, 50.5, I think it gets there. Like I said, I think KC scores 30, and the Browns are going to score 24. LA plus 14, not to lose by 2 touchdowns. Their defense is too good to get blown out. The only way I think Green Bay blows out the Rams, and this is possible, is if Goff just has a couple turnovers, right? Pick 6, there's a fumble, things like that. Green Bay's defense is pretty sharp as well. And then Baltimore not to lose by 10, and then the Bucks not to lose by 10. So no blowouts here today, and I think we will be fine. The parlay at plus 803 using our free parlay calculator over at ftmbets.com has Green Bay, KC, Baltimore, Tampa Bay. So there's a couple pick-ems in there with Baltimore and Tampa. But I like them. So this is it, guys. These are the picks. I'll be back again next week. And, of course, we'll do a fun little Super Bowl show as well with some props. And there's some Super Bowl, contests out there. Like, we'll have some fun with some props. There's always a lot of cool props. Gatorade colors and, anthem length commercials. We'll have some fun with some props. Any questions, you can hit me up at Chris Meany. Leave a question in the YouTube section. 2 games today, 2 games tomorrow, so lots more props over at ftnbets.com. Check out Elliot, myself, and Derek. We will be coming at you, ftndaily.com, for all the goods. The prop, the DK breakdown will be happening at 3 Eastern. All right, good luck. Hopefully the winners are yours. Enjoy the football. Should be fun. Talk to you guys soon. Cheers.